Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. How are you all doing? Wow, it is such a blessing to be with you all today. We want to encourage you to stick around all the way through. We believe the best is yet to come, and we're going to have a conversation today that we believe is going to encourage you, strengthen you, maybe even challenge you a little bit. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hello, everybody, and hello, Pastor Antonio. Man, welcome back.
I was just going to say, it's been a while since I'd said that.
Yeah, man, I tell you, we've been having some fun on the podcast.
Yeah.
Pastor Brian, had Aaron. I mean, yeah. And I know before that, you were with Pastor Joel and some others, so it seems like we haven't been together in a while.
Yeah, no, we've been changing it up. It's good. There's been some different conversations. We had some guests that we had with us, and our Terrence and Aaron hosted that one. It's been fun. And so we want to encourage you, if you missed any of those podcasts, go back, like, subscribe, comment, and we're here not just so we can have a conversation, but we want to bless and edify and encourage you all. Today is going to be no different.
Absolutely.
Man, we've been in a series, and we were just talking off air. We've been in a vein of something special here at church.
Yeah.
And we're just looking forward to I know I don't want it to stop. I was like, open it up more, Lord, if it's a faucet.
Well, it's kind of cool because we've been able to kind of from the sidelines witness what's gone on in the children's and youth camps and just to see what God is doing. And I know Pastor Jess called that out, that, hey, we don't want the parents get left behind. It's through Holy Spirit Night and having Jeff Osborne. All the things that have been going on, there's been some ministry moments that just, you know, amazing moves of God and what God is doing in our church, and how that has continued on through even our study of Romans and where we've been going to see, you know, like we talked about, ruling and reigning, you know, reigning with Christ, how grace reigns in our life and how we reign. You know, a lot of people are living the Christian life broke, busted, and disgusted, right? That's the old phrase, broke down, busted, and disgusted. But we get to rule and reign, and we get to rule over every area of life. It's you know, phenomenal to think about what Christ does.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so, you know, and we're in a series or finishing a series, and you did a few weeks really on a notion of one thing leading to another.
Yeah.
And in the same way that we just talked about from youth camp to kids camp to different experiences we're having in our church services, we know that it's building upon it.
Yeah.
Grace to grace, strength to strength. Amazing. But really, let's dive into the notion, Pastor Dan, of reigning and ruling and reigning. I know if you've been around church for any amount of time, you probably heard that thought before. But what are some, as we unpack, what are some takeaways or headlines of what we can experience in our Christian life in terms of reigning? Because, you know, we're not a monarchy, right? Reigning, you know, a king or a queen rules. But in the kingdom of God, there is.
In the kingdom of God, right, there we have a king. His name is Jesus. The interesting thing is that we're the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And this is something that I don't think we really unpacked to the fullest extent of the message is that, you know, because we talk more on the practical side
of course.
It, how to, you know, which is always where we're going to get people, because it's one thing to tell them what, another thing to tell them how.
Yes.
And God always wants us to get to the point of doing. That's what true biblical understanding is. A lot of people think understanding is just mental comprehension.
Right.
It's not. It's mental comprehension with application of the truth, right? You know you understand something when you're doing it.
Yes.
You know, it's like to say, I understand math. That's great. Do it, right? Solve the problem and show me that you understand it, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing in life. We are encountering a lot of problems, and if we truly know what it means to rule and reign in Christ, then we'll solve the problems. Mm-hmm. But we have a king who has a kingdom with a dominion, a domain that he rules and reigns within, which is the universal reign of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Things seen and unseen. So we live in the natural, we live in the seen realm, knowing that there is an unseen realm around us that affects the natural realm we live in. Yeah. Now, as the body of Christ, we have the authority of the king, the authority of Christ, right? As his body, we are enacting his will on the earth. And so that's what it really gives us, the right to rule. In other words, if you think about us, even aside from Christ, being the bride of Christ, right? Well, the king reigns, but the queen has just as much authority to speak to matters. And obviously the supreme rule is the king, okay? But similarly with the body, he's the head, right? The body doesn't act of its own will. It acts under the authority and the power of the head giving it the instruction to do what it does.
Right.
My hand does not operate without my head telling it to do something, right? If it does, we know there's a problem.
Yeah. Well, and I think that distinction is so important because, correct me if I'm wrong, that takes it away from if I have authority to reign my selfish ambitions, but wait, I still have to operate under what the king.
You have the authority.
What
the
would
head,
yeah, yeah. The head? What would bring glory to the kingdom?
Yes.
Would bring glory to God. And I think right. that as actors in that, you know, we're taking the authority given to us by the king to rule and reign, but
yes.
only for his glory, right?
Absolutely.
Not so we can build our own kingdom or be head of our own type of thing. And I think that distinction is really important, because others are like, oh, give me authority and I'm going to build this and I'm going to do that.
Right.
And I'm going to set aside for me and mine. And
yeah.
And we see people probably come in with authority of God and favor of God and giftings of God and talents and all these things. And then it becomes theirs. And ultimately.
Yeah. And definitely the flesh can get involved. But that's where, you know, talking about one thing leads to another. When you give your heart to the Lord, you become right. a new creation. With that new creation, you get a new heart, you get a new spirit, right? And even though we come into the new creation reality spiritually completely new,
mm-hmm.
we still have the same old body
yeah.
and the same old mind,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's where our minds are being renewed day by day by the Word of God. And that's what gets us off of our selfish
right.
ruling
yeah.
and reigning.
Yeah.
It gets us onto ruling and reigning under the authority with Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? That we can we're co-heirs with Christ,
yeah.
you know, we're co-regents,
yeah.
and we get to sit on the throne with him. You know, to him who overcomes, I will give to sit on my
right.
throne, right?
Yeah.
That's an amazing, mind-bending thought for me. But what does Revelation say? That by his blood, he's made us kings and priests, right? Kings rule and reign in the authority. The priest represents God to man and man to God.
Right. Right.
So we have a ministry, but we also have an authority. We have a dominion that God allows us
Good.
To rule and reign within. And that's the things that we encounter in this natural life, and where we're headed with Christ. If we're renewing our minds, then we're going to renew the expression and the desires even of our heart. And I believe that's where God steps in and says, I'll give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that your heart desires a Maserati or
right,
a, you
right.
know, a plane
yeah.
or
yeah.
a limo or, you know, whatever
yeah.
Selfish thing there might be that this is what I want,
mm-hmm.
you know. God has no problem with us having
right.
wants or desires.
Yeah.
But when it's all about us, our selfish desires, that sort of thing, I believe that as God renews our minds, he gives us,
mm-hmm.
literally, like, here's right. the desire of your
right.
heart. Like, he
right.
hands it to you. And then he delights to give us
yeah.
the desires of our heart
right.
because they're in line with his will and his way. So then when it comes to something like, you know, a preference,
yeah.
right, that's not selfish,
mm-hmm.
like, I could have the Maserati or not. I could
yeah.
have the plane or not. I could have, you know.
Yeah.
But let's say that there's a businessman who desired, man, I'm always flying, you know, and even in first class, it's just hard to work. If I had my own plane, I could do so much more. And
right.
God would give that desire to that businessman
yeah.
if their heart was in line with the kingdom purpose and principle of that
yeah.
thing, right?
Right, right.
That's a crazy extreme example, you know, that I don't know that a lot of us
yeah.
can relate with.
Yeah.
But let's break it down to where we live, right? So here's somebody saying, man, I need reliable transportation,
mm-hmm.
and I do like a nicer car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I do like the features on this car, you know? And it may be that, you know, people are like, well, I'm not going to seek that. I'm just going to seek the Lord. And somebody blesses them with a great car, you
right.
know, that has all the features that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know my wife and I, when we were house searching,
mm-hmm.
we had a list. Jessica had like 15 things on the list. I want an office. I want a room for all the kids. I want a nice kitchen. I want, you
mm-hmm.
know, a pool, and I want land, and I want all this kind of stuff. I had one thing on my list. I want a view. That was it, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember this house came up that we'd looked at before, and then, you know, it went into escrow, and then it came out of escrow. And we kind of didn't really give it too much thought. Even a friend of mine had sent it to me. He was like,
yeah.
hey, what do you think about it? And I was like, nah,
yeah.
you get that one, you know.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, nah. So we went back and forth on it. But I remember when we first walked up to that house, you know, it, for me, I'm content anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could live in a postage stamp. I don't care. You know, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just wanted a view. I remember driving up to our house, and we have all the San Bernardino Mountains. And I just turned around and I said, wow, look
yeah.
at that. That's gorgeous,
yeah.
you know? And then we looked at the house, and Jess is ticking off boxes. Oh, there's the office. There's the room for the kids. There's
yeah.
the pool. There's
yep.
the land. Okay, good, you know? And God gave us
mm-hmm.
the desires of our hearts. Why? Because we delight ourselves in him.
That's so good.
You know?
Well, so for the listener, those of us who now are walking in this authority,
mm-hmm.
is that, like you're saying, God's giving us, is God giving us the direction? How do we get the direction for the areas that we're supposed to sure. rule and reign in.
Yeah, yeah. No, obviously the primary way that God directs our lives is through his word. Yeah. That's number one. You're going to hear God's voice when you read the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's God speaking. I remember the first time I was, 15 years old, maybe 16 by this time, but I'd give my heart to the Lord, and I decided to read through the Bible because our pastor at the time, Dr. Rich Hall, who attends this church now, is a part of the pastoral team. Yeah. So some of you guys, you probably had Dr. Rich Hall call you when you put a prayer request in. That was my pastor when I got saved.
Yeah.
And so he challenged our church and said, hey, if you guys will read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays, you go through the Bible in a year. So I'm reading through the Bible. And I took that challenge very seriously because I'm like, if I'm doing this, I need to know what this book says,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I start going through the Bible. And as I'm going through, I remember I got to the book of Romans. And it was crazy because, you know, everything leading up to that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know,
yeah.
the judges and Joshua, and the stories of the conquest and getting into the land and the fall of Israel and then the kings era and you know, then the dispersion of the Jews and they're taken captivity, right? Here mm-hmm. they go to Assyria. Here they go to Babylon. Then God brings them back and they're rebuilding the temple and they're building the walls and all this kind of stuff. Then you got the Gospels, right? And Jesus shows up on the scene. We got the redemption. You got the story of Acts and the early church breaking out. But Romans marks a transition in the Bible
yeah.
as you read through it.
Yeah.
And I remember reading Romans and it started talking about you.
Right.
And I was like, wait, me? And, right. and as I was reading it, it was like God was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the very first time. And not that I had never read any of the letters before or anything like that or the New Testament. I mean, I was raised in church. I was raised, I went to a Lutheran school. They had us memorizing the names of the disciples. I don't think I could do that today, you know. I could probably, get a bunch of them out. But I might, like, double up from, one gospel to the next. The same dude is named something different in different gospels, Matthew and Levi, and I'd count that as two disciples as one. But the crazy thing is that now that I've been born again and now I'm reading the Bible and all of a sudden God's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read you in the book of Romans, I took it very personally.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It was different. So for those of you listening and you're trying to hear God's voice and get that direction, how do I, start reading the epistles, right? The letters to the churches, because God's going to talk to you through that. You know, a lot of times people, even the book of Revelation, it's about the intention. No, it's about Jesus.
Wow. Yep.
It's about worship.
Yep.
And it's about you to him who overcomes, not in the future.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's given us by his blood to rule and reign as kings and priests. Revelation 1:5. Look it up. It's now, right? Because he's talking to these churches at the beginning of it, and he's talking to them about overcoming and about the things that are going to take place very soon. We're living in that. And yes, there are things that are yet to be fulfilled and things that are to come, and obviously the return of Christ and all the things that we're seeing. But my goodness, how many prophecies have already been fulfilled? How many things have we already seen in our lifetime? How many things are we watching right now play out on the news? And so we need this now. We need to live this out. We need to rule and reign now.
Yeah.
You know, because what happens if it's the end times?
Yeah.
Right? We need to know how to live.
That's true. So true. Yeah.
Hello, right? He's coming.
Yeah.
So we need to know how to live and how to rule and reign if the Antichrist is revealed, right? We know his spirit's already in the world, and there's already Antichrist forces that are coming against us that deny Jesus as the Lord. I mean, look at 1 John. You'll find that all through 1 John that there are many Antichrists who have already gone out and denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah.
That's already there. We're living in that.
Absolutely.
So then how do we rule and reign when there's an Antichrist spirit coming against us? I believe that's where things like prayer, you can rule and reign in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people discount the power of prayer, but I tell you, the only way we made it through 2020 and the onslaught of Antichrist, I mean, just, I don't even know what to call it, right? Venom just this flood of dissipation that came at the church. The rise in alcohol, the rise in drug use and abuse, the rise in molestation of children and the sexual perversions that were unleashed on the earth over those next four years. I mean, you look at those 4 years, the transgender agenda, LGBTQ+ agenda, the things that were coming out, all of the legislation that came out, and then divorce rates, depression, and suicide rates. Mm-hmm. I mean, just take a look at the numbers.
Yeah.
2020... And the things that took place in that moment was not good, was not physically healthy,
Yeah.
Everybody's, oh, it's, we got to distance. No, no, no. Listen, it wasn't physically healthy in the sense that people started destroying themselves.
Right.
Stopped exercising, stopped eating right. I mean, it just changed the world that we live in. But then mentally healthy, I mentioned depression and suicide, those rates spiked, went crazy. The alcohol consumption spiked crazy. Okay, and spiritually, there was an onslaught of wickedness, and I remember even like on the weekend that was going to be the Feast of Trumpets, we were headed up. We were on a family vacation at that time. We had to get away, and so you remember this?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
and our governor comes out with, "Hey, I don't want anybody chanting, speaking, or blowing an instrument like a trumpet." I'm like, "It's the Feast of Trumpets." Right. Come on. And I'm like, that guy's in the head, right? You know, I'm like just calling it out.
Yeah.
I remember even though I was on vacation, I sent an email. I'm like, you better sing. You better chant. You better like
blow a darn shofar.
Yeah, somebody get a trumpet. And they did. They blew the shofar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's how we rule and reign with Christ, is we don't hide our head in the sand. No, we confront these forces of darkness. Right. We go after these things in the spirit, right? And we prayed our way through all of that, you know, and even let's take a prison, because I know we're talking global scale. We're talking big ideas, right? Things like that, and things that we're definitely going to live through.
Yeah.
But how about personally? Because people are being bound. We mentioned some things: depression. A lot of people battle that.
Yeah.
Suicidal thoughts. A lot of people battle that. Alcohol addictions, right? How about this one? Pornography addictions. Yeah. I remember when our kids were online doing school, that there were other schools in our districts that because they were able to screen share and do different, people were exposing kids to pornography like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and kids being online all the time, actually their mind frames changed to where pornography and the accessibility of things, streaming services, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, so people are having hard times and they're going through difficulties. How do we rule and reign over sin?
Right.
Right. We have been given authority. And the Bible, at 1 John, again, is a great, great book of the Bible that talks about the confrontation of how to rule and reign over those things. Because it says that if we have the seed of God in us, which Jesus is born in us, right?
Yeah.
Christ is formed in us. If we're born again, then it says that they will not sin.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, we go on sin and then we think, well, am I even saved?
Yeah.
Because I have the seed of God in me and yet I still sin. And that says I will not sin. We need to understand, will not habitually sin.
Right. Remain in a
remain
place
in that
of
position of sin, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we understand that it's not the habitual practice of sin that we continue in, right? That we're miserable in our sin.
Yeah.
And that our spirit man will be grieved, right? And the spirit of God in us will be grieved. Mm-hmm. And it will bug us enough that we will hate it.
Right.
And we'll do something about it. What are we going to do? We're going to rule and reign over that.
Right.
I'm not going to continue in that. I'm going to expose the deeds of darkness. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to show my browsing history to my wife or, you know, to my mentor or, you know, whoever that is in your life that you can say, hey, I can bear everything. I can reveal. I can be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I can be told no.
Yep.
You know, there's some amazing things that happen when we make a choice that I'm not going to be bound by this any longer.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think that's where the rubber meets the road. So primarily by the word of God, the spirit of God that lives in us will grieve us, will speak to us, will, you know, the spirit speaks through the voice of our conscience.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of Christians understand this concept because they think it's just their conscience.
Yeah.
And they don't realize God's talking to me right now.
Yeah.
You know, like he's the one that gave you conscience first and foremost. But then when you're born again, the Spirit will speak to you through that voice of your conscience.
Right.
Because he lives in your heart, right? The heart is the seat of the soul and the spirit.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't properly attribute that, then we're just, we're chalking it up.
Yeah,
to
floating
just
around.
Yeah.
Floating
yeah.
around. But that's where when we listen to that voice and immediately obey the voice of the Spirit, then we're going to get the God results.
So
we're going to rule and reign in life, right?
Right?
You know, and then the other way that God speaks to us is through others, right? The community of faith.
Yeah.
The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, and sometimes, a witness might be a circumstance that, hey, wow, look at this, you know, like I said with our house, you know, I had one thing on as a view.
Yeah.
We had a view. Wow, that this might be God, right?
Yeah.
But there's plenty of houses with a view where we live, right? So that may not be God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to make that the only thing. But when my wife steps in and says, I just feel the peace of God on this, right? that can be a witness, right? And now out of my wife's mouth, out of the fact that the circumstance line up, out of the fact that the price is there and that this is a good, you know, good for God, good for others, good for us, like, wow, look at all this together, right? So you may be going through something and wondering, okay, what is the will of God in this area? I'm to rule and reign in life. I'm to have direction in life. Mm-hmm. I need to live a life that's pleasing to God. So, you know, there may be something that's not necessarily sinful, but a decision that you're facing, something that you're looking at that you say, well, is this God speaking to me? I can see that it's okay in the Word. You know, it's one of those areas that maybe not perfectly address what career to go into, right, or, you know, what path to take, who to marry. You know, mm-hmm. there's obviously they're a Christian. They love the Lord. Are they the one, right? You know, okay. So I don't see that directly like, hey, Dan, marry Jessica. You know, it's not there in Scripture, but. Yeah. You know, when you see that, and then when you have the peace of God, mm-hmm. and you have other witnesses that are saying, hey, yeah, no, that's God right there.
Yeah.
Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. Yeah. And we can say, well, then I'm going to move forward in this with the authority of Christ mm-hmm. on it, mm-hmm. right? Ruling and reigning.
Okay, so you talked about, you know, again, in the same thought of one thing leading next to another, you had shared some stories. Recount that part to us, how it applies here, and how, again,
yeah,
walking away from this conversation today, we can go and walk in this authority and put ourselves in a place of ruling and reigning and seeing ourselves in this situation.
Right. You know, there's an extreme instance of the story of the lady that's skydiving, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The parachute doesn't deploy.
Yeah.
She lands on a fire ant hill. And thankfully, it cushions her fall enough to where her body isn't completely, she doesn't die on impact, right. but she sustained injuries internally mm-hmm. that could be life-threatening. Mm-hmm. And the ants start biting her. She receives hundreds of bites all over her body, and they're very painful. And yet, it triggered adrenaline on the inside of her that kept her alive until emergency response crews could come and save her life, essentially.
So they attributed the fall on the ants to one of the contributing factors.
If she would have fallen anyway, you know, Jessica was watching this. I didn't say this in the message. Jessica was watching this television show mm-hmm. called I Survived. Those shows drive me nuts, okay, because I don't want to see a bear attack.
Right.
You know, like that's, I like hiking. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be thinking about that. You know, I don't want to see a shark attack.
Yeah.
I love the ocean. Right. Like if I'm swimming out there.
Paddleboarding in the ocean,
I don't want to be wearing shark bands. You know, like I don't want to think about that kind of stuff. So, you know, like, I'm not out there for that, and yet she thinks that that's so fun to watch that. So there's another parachuting thing where a guy deploys his parachute and it doesn't fully open, and then he deploys the secondary one. It gets tangled up in the first one, and he ends up in a spiral coming down. Okay, so the spiral is slowing him down, but I mean, if he hits he was over the ocean. If he hits the ocean, he's going to hit it, and you know, water at that rate is like concrete.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be smashed. So he's spiraling down. He ends up getting over enough towards land, but he lands in a blackberry patch, which anybody that's picked blackberries knows those things have big thorns, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people would say that's the worst place to land. It was actually the best place for him to land because it cushioned again his fall. Okay. He could have landed on the ocean, but he lands in the blackberry patch. So a friend of his is parachuting down, makes his way over to him. They pull him out, get him to cruise, and his life is saved again. Now, he obviously had injuries to his brain and had to go through rehab and that sort of a thing, but he's fine today,
he's alive.
You know, he's alive. And that's why the show's called I Survived. You know, it's like, but I just hate the journey to get there. Why do I bring those two examples up? Because a lot of times when we're hit by life, something happens, someone dies that we were believing God for, right? We say, well, I'm not ruling and reigning. You know, we lose a job, I'm not ruling and reigning. You know, part of our house breaks that it's financially devastating to us. I'm not ruling and reigning in life, and yet sometimes where we land,
come on,
we don't understand that if we wouldn't have gone through that firing process or, you know, whatever it was, the layoffs, right, then we would have never gotten to the next job that God needed us to get to.
Right.
And now there's a management position, or now there's a raise, or now there's a better work environment. Or how about this? I started my own business. I would have never had the courage to launch out and start my own business if I wouldn't have been laid off from the other company. I can't tell you how many people are stuck until something happens that God gets their attention and says, hey, rule.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a great book by a guy by the name of Paul Bilheimer. Paul Bilheimer moved to, I think he was in Louisiana or one of those states down there, mm-hmm. kind of off on his own, out of ministry, wondering what God was doing. But in that solace, he started to write. And he wrote some brilliant books. Any of his stuff is good. Okay, yeah. So I highly recommend it. But he wrote a book called Destined to Overcome. And he had another one, I think, Destined to Reign. Mm-hmm. But talking about how the things that we go through are actually on-the-job training for ruling and reigning in eternity with Christ, right?
Yeah.
That God wants his children to be set up for eternity. And so what he does is he allows us opportunities, which sounds like a great word, doesn't it? Opportunities. Oh, look, got an opportunity. But your opportunity is dressed like cancer.
Right.
Your opportunity is dressed like a divorce. Your opportunity is dressed like your kids are going mm-hmm. south. You know, whatever those things that face us, but they're opportunities for us. Are we going to allow that to devastate us? Or are we going to walk into the kingdom dominion and rule and reign in that area of life?
Yeah.
Right? And so we come with the power and the authority of Christ. And again, through prayer, through obedience, through our faith, those things that we can now walk out and live out what ruling and reigning looks like in life, to where we're not destroyed by our circumstances, but now those circumstances are now, we bring the kingdom in and rule and reign in the dominion of Christ in every area.
Yeah, that feel, you know, it feels heavy because there's a little bit of fear that wants to enter in.
Sure.
Of like, oh, shoot, then I have to go through the hard part. Mm-hmm, but I saw something recently that they were talking about, you know, talking about God's perspective, and someone was struggling with feeling upset at God, after losing a child.
Sure.
And the question was posed, you're going, and which is devastating for anyone.
Oh, absolutely.
That you're going off of limited knowledge and limited perspective, that we're seeing things through our what we know. Because
right.
like, God, how can you do this?
Yeah.
Because again, what we know in our time and space, when God is looking at the full picture, the grander picture, which can feel again hard to accept. But when we see it that way, that God knows the bigger picture of everything. And again, even in our finite lives,
mm-hmm.
right? And we've talked about this, you know, when we lose someone that we've been believing for, that we really believed was going to heal, like, well, they are healed, just not on this side of eternity. Because
right.
we think in our finite terms, and of our 50, 60, 80, oh, God bless us, 100 years on the earth is what? But a blip, but vapor.
A vapor,
A vapor, the Bible says, of to eternity. And, and those kind of perspective changes, I think, will be useful for us in our reigning tool belt. Mm-hmm. Because, Pastor Dan, how else will we handle setback and discouragement? Because even in reigning, there is things don't go our way. In fact, maybe evidence is things aren't going our way, that we are actually getting some things done.
Right.
And those are going to set us up to be able to do that.
Well, I think it's interesting that the scriptures compare and contrast how death reigned through the one, right?
Mm.
But then we reign through the gift.
Yeah.
And that's where it talks about the reign of grace, right? That even though we're encountering these difficult, to say the least, situations and circumstances that we encounter here on this earth, because death is reigning still over the natural, right? And it's the last enemy to be put under his feet. And that's a crazy thought when you think about all of the enemies of God, in that we're going to still encounter death as an enemy while we're here on this earth. But it's contrasting the reign of death to the rule and the reign of grace that's enacted through the people of God. And that contrast is so stark, because in the midst of death, in the midst of trials, in the midst of challenges, we have the grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it.
Yeah.
His power in us to do what his truth demands of us in the midst of death.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So even like, you know, when you were talking about it, my dad, when he passed in 2020, I remember it was so sudden. It was, you know, he wasn't sick. He didn't die of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He probably died of complications due to diabetes. Mm-hmm. They think, you know, that he had a grand mal heart attack, or, you know, the Widowmaker or whatever.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, even that, I don't know, because like, he was on the phone. My dad loved helping people, and he loved computers. And so one of the students at our school was having some trouble with their computer. So he's on the phone with the mom. And he's just talking to them and doing some stuff on the computer. He said, okay, let me check on something real quick. And they said they heard him take a breath. and nothing. And after a while, they're like, Dan, mm-hmm. Dan, are you there? And so they stayed on the phone until my mom got home. She was on a walk. Didn't even know what was going on. But I think about that. Afterwards, when I talked to my mom, she said, you know, we were in the best place in our marriage. He was in the best place. He had forgiven people that had hurt him, you know, mm-hmm. where he was having trouble.
Yeah.
He forgave them and chose to overlook an offense, to love and to move forward. He was in the best place with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and think about it. He died doing what he loved, helping people, you know, like to me.
Yeah.
Death, where is your sting, right? Like, he was ruling and reigning even in his transition out of this place, right?
Yeah.
That God, we say God took him, but at the same time, I think about the ruling and reigning of the body of Christ. That if we're in Christ, you know, Pastor Jim, when he passed away, it was the middle of the night, and when they found him, he had his hand over his heart, his hand out, looked like he had a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this surprised smile. I mean, what did he see?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, I again go back to this is the ruling and reigning of the saints that in death even, that there's no sting. Mm-hmm. Because why? We're just walking into the next room.
Yeah, come on.
And it's only going to be a moment till the rest of us get to walk over there with them, right?
Yeah.
But we don't have to fear death any longer. We don't have to fear, like you said, the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The effects of the rollout of sin that had on humanity and time and eternity, right? When we look at this vapor time on the earth, even the timeline of earth from beginning to end is still, when you think about in light of eternity, past and eternity, future, this present that we live in is still nothing. It's a blip on the timeline, right? Yeah. It's just a crazy thought. So when we think about that, I believe that's where Romans 8 comes in and says that I don't compare our current sufferings to even be matched up or lined up with the future glory that's going to be revealed in us.
Amen.
And that is the future reign that we're looking at, that we don't look at temporary setbacks, trials, challenges, because why? The eternal weight of glory that's going to be revealed, this stuff's nothing.
Well, see, that excites me, you know, as we kind of close or land the plane with a parachute here.
That deploys. Properly.
I feel charged up because it doesn't all have to look a certain way to be for me to be ruling and reigning. I'm hearing God. I'm listening. I'm obeying. And I don't have to use circumstance as a barometer for success, quote unquote, of ruling and reigning. I'm hearing his voice. I'm acting. And in fact, in any circumstance, ruling is taking place because I walk in the authority. And I think that's the encouragement for all of us.
Yeah.
Because the hard part is living our life feeling that we're trying to exhibit some level of success. And again, outwardly express or show. But that's not what God's asking of us at all.
No.
And so sometimes it will look like a life ended too soon, quote unquote. But if we're living in our purpose, if we're living, ruling, and reigning, I would venture to say, you know, we know for certain about Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim would not come back. You know, like it's
he
one.
He talked too much about it. It was like, okay, let's stop.
I know,
you're
too excited.
Come on now.
So, but again, those are the things that excite me and encourage me, because again, I don't have to say, well, as long as everything's going good, then I'm good.
Right.
I'm good because of
that's a false positive. Right. You know, we're going to go through things. You know, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders, through many trials and challenges that will enter the kingdom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what king do we know of that never had a battle? Mm. Right? Even Solomon, with all the peace and all the prosperity that he had. I mean, no, it was self-inflicted in some ways, but there were still challenges that he faced.
Well, it makes me wonder, by our metrics, were any of the apostles successful at all in anything that they did? By our modern metrics,
the Apostle John's the only one that we know of that. But even he was, you know, they said he was boiled alive and he lived through that and died a natural death later on. But I mean, like.
So I think we need to change our
absolutely.
View of success in walking in this.
Yeah, just read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see what the barometer of success is there.
No, that's so good. Yeah. So good, Pastor. Would you mind closing us out?
Yeah. Well, let me pray for those of you that are watching. You might be encountering a challenge right now, and you're going, man, I don't feel like I'm ruling and reigning. But know this, that if you hear the voice of God through his word, through his spirit, and then those accompanying witnesses, that as you walk in obedience, that God will work out the rest. God's going to take care of you. And you, even though you have challenges, you're going to go through the challenges. You're going to rule and reign through them. The grace will carry you through that. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for those that are listening and viewing online, God, those that are on their commute, or maybe they're working out, God, wherever they're at. They might just be listening to this podcast in a chair. Father, I thank you, Lord, that they're going to rule and reign in life through your power, through your grace, God, that you instill in us the things that we need in order to make it through, God. I know that there's probably as many listeners as there's a diversity of challenges that they're facing. Some may be facing things that we talked about, like the loss of a child, and they're grieving. Maybe it's the loss of a parent, like we mentioned, and they're grieving. It might be the loss of a job. It might be the loss of something that they built up over time, God, whether it's marriage or business or different things in life. It might be things coming against them, building towards those things, Lord. And I just pray your grace infuses them with the strength to rule and to reign in every situation, God, that they would be at peace on the inside and bring that to the outside, Lord God, that they would bring your kingdom rule and reign in every area. And where the devils come in and distracted and deterred and tried to destroy, I thank you, Father God, that they have the authority of Christ to cast him out and to overcome in every area. Lord, those that have been bound, those that have been ruled by their passions and their lusts, God, whether it be an addiction or an affliction, God, I thank you, Lord, that they can rule and reign over those things, that they can be free in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, hey, guys, thank you again for tuning in. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for a great conversation. Again, like, comment, subscribe. How about this? Add a question, maybe a prayer request. Whatever you have, man, we want to come alongside you on this journey. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you soon.